Our epistle lesson comes from the second letter to the Thessalonians. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was because we do not have that, this is not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. And then in the Gospel of Luke, a continuation of the story of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and the cross. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign of this that is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' But do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. There will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all these occurrences, they will arrest you and persecute you, and they will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify, so make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Join me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, to you, and may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. I have three texts to share with you today, the threads that tie our lessons together. The first comes from the prophet in Isaiah, one that I share with the children. "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox." The second comes from the Gospel of Luke. "They will arrest you and persecute you, they will hand you over to the authorities and put you in prison." And the third comes from the letter to the Thessalonians. "Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right." As I said to the youngest disciples among us, that the reading from Isaiah is the inspiration that lies behind the peaceable kingdom. Whether it be in song, in painting, in poetry, or in music. In Isaiah's words, God paints the divine dream for this world. God paints a picture of hope. It is the hope that one day, two of the ancient world's most pervasive scourges would be eliminated. high infant mortality, and low life expectancy. And while we have few reliable records of the ancient world, scholars have been able to determine that roughly between one-third and one-half of all of the children born in that day and age did not survive to the age of five. And this continued up through the 19th century. Many of our childhood nursery rhymes reflect this. Ring Around the Rosie, Pocketful of Posy, for example, testifies to the Black Plague that killed more than half of the people in Europe. If a child lived to the age of 10, then they might expect to live to celebrate their 50th birthday. But that was not guaranteed. There is good news and there is bad news in Isaiah's vision. The good news is that God's kingdom will ultimately come with or without our participation. But we should wish not to be left on the sidelines. The bad news is that God calls each one of us, calls those of us who decide to take Jesus seriously to be implementers of God's vision, workers in God's kingdom, workers in the vineyard of the kingdom of God. You see, God's vision for this world is hope, but it is not cheap hope. God will not deliver the vision of the peaceable kingdom to us on a silver platter for us to enjoy, but God expects us to do our part, to do the hefty lifting, not to be idle in the words of 2 Thessalonians, but to get to work. Men and women, boys and girls who take Jesus seriously are to be resilient and tenacious in the face of battling the dark forces of this world. In the gospel lesson, Jesus responded to his disciples as they commented on the wonder, the splendor, and the grandeur of the temple. It was, Jesus agreed, beautiful, but he also reminded them that like all things in this world, one day it will lay in ruin. This past Thursday at the Lutheran Hillside Village, as I shared a Bible study on this text, I said that I enjoyed walking through old cemeteries to see how the weather has worn even the grandest of markers, making them unreadable, because everything in this world is fleeting. Jesus said to his disciples in that first century, not one stone will be left on top of another in the temple. And it did come to pass in 70 AD as Jerusalem was sacked by the Romans. In the language of the apocalyptic literature of Scripture, Jesus said that those who will take him seriously will find themselves misunderstood, slandered, and most likely even martyred. In reflecting upon this text, it strikes me that it is not by accident that totalitarian regimes have banned Bibles and tried to control the messages that have come from Christian pulpits, because nothing threatens the status quo more than God's dream for this world. In Luke's theology, as early as the Magnificat, Mary sings how the mighty are brought down from their thrones and the lowly are lifted up. It strikes me that it is not by accident that those who hear God's call and take Jesus seriously make sacrifices in order to build hospitals and centers of healing. It is not by accident that in our own community, St. Francis and Methodist hospitals have religious origins, or that in other cities like Rush Presbyterian Hospital in Chicago, there is a religious affiliation. Because if we are to battle infant mortality and people dying before their mature number of years, people who take Jesus seriously must be involved with the healthcare industry and preventative healthcare. Nor is it by accident that churches have laid many, many cornerstones in our own land and around the world in building new schools, in order to battle illiteracy and ignorance. It is not by accident that those who hear God's call and take Jesus seriously develop and run programs to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. It is not by accident that those who hear God's call and take Jesus seriously that poverty is confronted, as is war, institutional racism, and sexism. Anything that denigrates human dignity. It is not by accident that those who hear God's call and take Jesus seriously create ministries of housing like Habitat for Humanity, that Christians work for fair housing and develop ministries for the homeless and the refugees. And it is not by accident that everyone who takes Jesus seriously and hears God's call in their lives are misunderstood, called naive, criticized for their efforts, threatened, persecuted, and in some instances, even killed. But in spite of all of this, those who hear God's call in their lives and take Jesus seriously know that our true treasure is not found in this world. They know that in both life and death we belong not to ourselves, but we belong to God. That those who take Jesus seriously have a higher calling. They are called to be builders of the kingdom, architects of that kingdom, laborers in the vineyard, humble drawers of water and hewers of wood. Those who take Jesus seriously take to heart the words that are found in the epistle of 2 Thessalonians. Get to work doing what is right. Get to work to help build the day when the lion and the ox shall graze together, when the wolf and the lamb shall lie side by side, when all of God's children are secure, fed, educated, housed, cared for, and loved. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. We are richly blessed this morning to receive new members into our congregation. I invite Dwight Borden, as well as Deborah and Thomas Garrison, to come forward, Kayla Smith and Claire McQuarrie. Please come forward at this time and join me here on this. Actually, I'll come down. You can stand up here on the top. Kim King was to be with us this morning, but last night I received a late text message that she had to take her son to the hospital, so Kim will join us at a later date. But please come forward. Yep, if we're good. I'm going to turn my back to you, speak to them. In baptism, you were claimed by God, marked as Christ's own forever, and joined to his body by the Holy Spirit. You come to us then not as strangers, but as friends in Christ, members of the household of God. We rejoice that you now desire to join with this congregation in worship and in the mission of the church. Hear these words of Scripture. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope in your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all. Therefore, Dwight, Thomas and Deborah, Kayla and Claire, I invite you to declare your intentions by answering these questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him?
Will you be a faithful disciple? Seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be. And Kayla, I'm going to ask you and Claire to switch positions for just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to join me here. Go and make disciples of all nations, our Lord said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hearing the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and obeying his command for us, we baptize those whom Christ has called his own. You come before us not as a stranger, but as a friend, as a child of God. And in your baptism, you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Therefore, I will ask you, what is your given name? Kayla Smith. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In life, may you live to the Lord. In death, may you die to the Lord, so that in both life and death, you will always know that you belong to the Lord. May God's richest blessings be with you all the days of your life. Amen. I'm going to help you back over here next to James. James.